se ne aiuti.
There's a Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of this week's parsha when it says Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai Dach L'Chodesh. So the Medrash says it's in the Midbar Rabbah Perek Aleph Sif Zayin Halacha Zayin Parsha Zayin, whatever you want to say. Kol mi she'eno osa atzmo kin midbar hefker eno yachol liknos zachachma vesa Torah. Anybody who doesn't make himself into a hefker dika desert, you're not able to acquire any wisdom or Torah. And that's why it says b'midbar Sinai. The only way for a person to really get the Torah is to make yourself into a midbar hefker. We know that Parshas Bamidbar is always before Shavuos. There is never a time where Bamidbar is after Shavuos or 2 weeks before Shavuos. It's always before Shavuos. Always happens. So there must be some type of a hachana, some type of a preparation, getting you ready for Shavuos that's right there in Parshas Bamidbar. The question is, what is it? What is that hachana? What is that preparation? So it seems to me that this beginning, this Medrash Rabbah, at the beginning of Bamidbar Sinai, is the Hakana. This is the preparation. The Rashi doesn't mention it, but this is a perfect preparation for Har Sinai, a perfect preparation for Matan Torah. How do I acquire the Torah? Well, the way to acquire the Torah is to make myself like a Midbar Hefker, make myself like a freelance desert. Question is, what does that mean? How do you make yourself into a Midbar Hefker? How do you make yourself, how do you put yourself in at, to the point where you're mamish like a Midbar? There's a big difference between what we preach and what the Goyim preach. Now, I do not mean as in what Rabbeim preach versus what the priests preach. That is essentially the same. Do everything good, be everything good. There's God, whatever it is. Obviously, they're talking about different things. But what is the mindset of a non-Jew versus the mindset of a Jew? On Shavuos night, I'm giving a shiur on the Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya Gemara, when he fights the men of Athens, against the men of Athens. It's a Bechoros Chesem Abeis, and the whole fight that they had where the men of Athens slash Rome, Greece and Rome, got together in order to... Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya went to greet them, he ended up fighting them in Chochmah, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya at the end won. And going through it, you see through their arguments exactly how they feel about what life is all about. How the Romans feel and how the Jews feel. And it can be explained in detail when you get into those Gemaras, with the different things that are going on in those Gemaras. You get into very big detail when it comes there. But Roman philosophy was the betterment of yourself, whether in riches or in wisdom, or in athletics, or in any way that you possibly could. And Greek philosophy was not so far off. To the point where the greater you became, the richer or the more powerful, whether that's athletic or in rich, whatever it was, the greater you became, you could become a god. You could become beyond a human being. The more athletic you were, the stronger you were, you could be a Hercules. You could be someone who is beyond everybody else. Beyond everybody else. The more beautiful you were a goddess. The more beautiful you were beyond this world. You're not like everybody else. You're beyond it. And what was their mila? Even if you could do something else for somebody, you could do a favor for somebody else. The only time that you can go ahead and do a favor is if you're going to get honor from it. If you're not going to get kavod from it, if you're not getting honor from it, then don't do it. That was their philosophy. Only do it if you're going to gain. If you're not going to gain, don't do it. They're into the ani. There's me, the ego in the person. There's no I in team, but there's a me. There's a me. And I'm important when it comes to that. There's me. And where am I when it comes to my team winning? Their philosophy when it comes to God is a philosophy that we have taken on for ourselves sometimes when we live our regular lives. Think to ourselves, you know, I got my savings, And as long as God stays out of it, everything will be okay. I've got my money. I've got my job. I'm pretty happy. And as long as God just doesn't mess it up for me, he doesn't make a hurricane or have the economy collapse or anything else, as long as God stays away, I'm going to be fine. I still got my savings. I got everything behind me. I've got assets. I don't really have to worry about anything. Their idea was, I don't need to pray to God. I need to pray to God to stay out. God, don't kill me. God, don't destroy my property. But to ask for something, what do I need? I don't need anything. I don't need anything at all. And there's a story, but I'm not going to say the whole Maisa, with the Baal Shem Tov, with a guy that goes to the Baal Shem Tov, and he says to the Baal Shem Tov, I just wanted to see your face. The Baal Shem Tov looks at him and says, you don't want money? You don't want a bracha for money? The guy says, I don't need a bracha for money. Thank God, I'm very, very rich. I own huge factories. I don't need any money. Baal Shem Tov looks at him and says, you don't need children? So the man says, Baruch Hashem, I have many, many children, 15 children. The sons are all Rosh Yeshivas. The girls are all, their husbands joined me in my business, and they're all Talmidei Chachamim. Thank God. He said, you don't need me for Torah. He said, Baruch Hashem, I know Shulchan Aruch and Shas Baal Peh. He asked me, in any part of Shulchan Aruch and Shas, I know everything Baal Peh. So Baal Shem Tov says, so you came to me, why? Baal Shem Tov says, that the man said, I just came to see your face. And the Baal Shem Tov tells him a story. And he goes into a long story about how this person's neshama was from a different, he was from another world, from a different previous thing, that he had done a tremendous chait in that he never gave tzedakah well. He never was a Baal Chesed. And this whole life was about him becoming a Baal Chesed, and that he's going to Gehenna no matter what he has and everything he was. He was going to Gehenna if he didn't give chesed to a certain person. And in the end, not only did he not give chesed to that person, but he accidentally killed that person, and his neshama is going to Gehenna. And the guy started crying, and the Baal Shem Tov looks at him and says, I thought you just came to see my face. You're okay with everything. You don't realize what you're missing by not davening, by not asking, by not trying any harder. The Roman philosophy is, just listen, I'm fine. I don't need you. I don't need you to do anything for me. I don't need you to say anything to me. I don't need a guy telling me what to do. Nobody should tell me what to do. Who are you? Who's that person? Who's God? He created me. And then I don't see him. He's not doing anything directly for me. So because he's not doing anything directly for me, when I need him, I'll call on him. But when I don't need him, just keep him out. Keep him out. Stay away. We know it has to be different than that. We know it's different. The question is how? Our wisdom comes from the fact that we know that sometimes we have to stop and say, I don't know. The fact that Rashi can put into his parish Eini Yodea. Can you imagine writing a whole parish on the Chumash? Whole parish on the Chumash. I'm sure there were lots of times where Rashi had a kasha regarding a certain letter. But apparently not. The ones that he didn't know, he wrote Eini Yodea. I don't know. At least three times. I only know of three. There might be more than that. Eini Yodea. I just don't know. It's just a pella. What do you mean you don't know? Take a guess. That's what Chidushim are. Or just don't write it. Don't bother saying, I don't know. Don't say anything at all. Just be quiet. But no. Rashi says, I don't know. That tells you something about the Chochmah that we have. The Chochmah that we have is to understand that sometimes we don't know. Sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes that's it. And what do we do every day? Three times a day. Chanenu meizcha dea bina v'haskil. We ask for a Kadosh Baruch Hu the ability to understand. We don't think we can understand on our own. We don't think that we can do it all, that we can understand where God is or anything like that. We say, chanenu meizcha dea bina v'haskil. Help me understand it. Help me get it. Because if you don't, then I'm never going to. I'm not going to get it. Baruch Atah Hashem chonin ados. That he's the one who's giving us that das. When you make yourself hefker, if you want to make yourself into a midbar, if you want to make yourself understand what's going on throughout any part of Torah, there's a process. Forget about the working hard. That was last week. That's something that I don't know if anybody worked on as hard as they did running in baseball when I got the ball in left field. I don't know. But that's one thing. But there's a second thing. Making yourself into a nobody. And saying, I don't understand. Making yourself into an un-of. And saying, I don't get it. I'm going to have to go ask. And if they don't get it, you don't say, well, that's it. You don't just take off the kippah and run away. Say to yourself, I'm going to keep working on this. I'm going to keep going and not stop. We're not, and this is a reference to the Shavuot Shir, a mule that's sterile and can't give birth to anything else. We're people that can give birth, that can be molded anything from us, that have tremendous kochos. But you have to know that. You have to know there are some times where you just say, I don't know. You know what the sure sign of this is, Rav Schwab says? You know what the sure sign of knowing if you're a Midbar Hefker? To know that if you're just a desert that's just out there and you're mocking yourself? Let's say you come up with an unbelievable Kiddush. Unbelievable Kiddush. Something that nobody's ever heard before. You say with the Kiddush and it's unbelievable, gorgeous board. And people look at you and say, wow, it's unbelievable. It's Torah's Emes Sinai. There's no question. There's no question that came down from our Sinai. And then you tell it over to a certain person. And you're walking away, whatever it is, and you hear that guy go and tell it over to another person. Not only is he not saying it in your name, but he's saying it in his own name. As if he made it up. You just told him that vor. And he said to you, wow, that's such a good vor. And now he's going and taking credit for it? What's he doing? If your Torah is hefker, then you say, Torah can be given by anybody. It doesn't make any difference. It's not my Torah. Torah belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What difference does it make if I came up with it? Shkoyach, I came up with it. So what? Somebody else can repeat it without being in my name, and it's not that big of a deal. But if a person goes up and says, what are you doing? That's my Torah. You're clearly not a Midbar Hefker. Came up with a good word. But you're clearly not a Midbar Hefker. Because you care. You attribute the Torah back to yourself. That's not an un-of. That's the biggest bal gaiva there could possibly be. That Torah is yours? Seichal kenu b'sorasecha means I have a chelek and the other people can't get it? What kind of a bal gaiva are you? That's not getting Torah. An un-of has to understand the Torah is not mine. I've never understood how people... I understand the concept. I've never understood the concept of copywriting certain things in Sfarim. Never understood it. And it could be that my Rosh Yeshiva just taught me the other way. I remember Rabbi Lairfield would always have in every single one of his Sfarim, in the front of it, it says, Nola Tzalaim, please copy. Please copy. The fact is, he wanted people to learn it. He didn't care. It made no difference to him. Well, if somebody's going to take the board and put it in his own safer, good. Let somebody else have it. It's a board that I came up with. And I think that it's true. So let everybody else talk about it. What's the big deal? What, I need to get the credit? I need that guy, I need that little bit of pride? It has to be in Zvi Zimmerman's name? I don't need it. It's fine. But when you copyright a sefer, what you're basically saying is, this is my Torah, and if you want it, you gotta ask me rishus. You gotta ask me rishus, because it's not just for anybody. It's for me. Now, I understand the concept. I know that if you have that translation, then other people can take that translation, and you're gonna lose all your money from it. I understand that. You're making money off the Torah. I hear that. Probably, I understand. Okay, no, there's no issue with it per se. It's just not the best thing. A Midbar Hefker means to be able to say to yourself, this is what I need to do. If you look at the Chumash, when it goes through in the beginning of the parsha, such an unbelievable line, and it brings down the Nesiim. So these were Nesiim, the princes of Klal Yisrael. They're in charge of Klal Yisrael. So you'd think that the accolades would all be there. They'd get the best names in the world, unreal names. These guys are Rosh Sanhedrios. That they're Nesiim. They're unbelievable people. Look at what it says. V'itcham yu ish ish lamata ish rosh levesavu. You'll have a bunch of men. Each man will be in charge of his house. Ve'ilish moso anashim. I know Anoshim is still somewhat of a chashuv name, but these are the names of the men. Eila Shmos HaNesiim. Eila Shmos Gidolei Klal Yisrael. Eila Shmos of the greatest people that possibly have ever lived. The Nesiim that were in charge of the thousands of people during Dora Midbar. Could there be greater people? Could there be people on a higher level? They were Nesiim. You're going to call them Anoshim. And then afterward, it goes through all their names. And it says right afterward, Eilek Ruei Aeda. These are the ones that were called over by the Aeda. Nesiei Matos Avosim, Nesiim. Rosh Alfi Yisraelim, heads of the thousands. Sounds like, oh, we're finally getting the accolades. We're finally putting in their names. We're finally saying who these guys were. Then the next Fasik, Vayikach Moshe Aaron is now Anoshim. Moshe Aaron took the men. What the men? It's like those guys over there. You know the Rosh Yeshivas? Oh, the guys. They're not guys. They're not just some another person. They're Rosh Yeshiva. They're Nesiim. They're Gidolim. What are we calling them Anoshim for? Why are they calling them just a some name? And then we do say it, but somewhat we go back to it. What the Kodesh Baruch was trying to tell them is, I know you're Nesiim. I know you're Rosh Alfi Yisrael, heads of thousands of Jews. I know how great you are. But you can't know that. You can't think that way. Because then your Torah is not Hefker. Your Torah is not a Midbar. And perfectly in this parasha, where we go into Torah being a Midbar Hefker, and understanding that it's not my Torah, it's anyone's Torah to be able to take and use. For a person to understand that, the Nesiim understood that. They looked at themselves as Anoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu praised them and said, because of that, you're Kruei Eido, you're Rosh Alfi Yisrael, you're Nesiim. Praise them for it. But in the end, when Moshe Aaron actually took them, they looked at themselves as just guys. Just another Yid. Just another Jew. We're lucky that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that we can be the Nesiim. But we're no better than any other person around there. That Anivus is so strong. So strong, it makes you able to accept the Torah. If you say, I'll get it myself, you're not going to get it. If you say, Hashem, please help me, I'm not getting it, then you'll get it. But you have to say it out loud. You have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. You have to say something. Can you look back at that Maamar Chazal that I quoted in the beginning? They're an unbelievable, just look back at it. Kol mi she'eino ose atzmo kemid bar hefker, eino yachol liknos zachachma v'zatora. If you don't make yourself into a midbar hefker, then you won't be able to acquire chachma and Torah. Can I ask you a question? Wasn't there an easier way of putting that instead of a double negative? If you make yourself into a midbar hefker, then you acquire the Torah. Wouldn't that have been easier? What's with the negatives? If you don't make yourself into a midbar hefker, you're not going to acquire the Torah. Why that way? It's not a guarantee. There's never a guarantee. You can't just say to yourself, I'm a big unav, and then it's all over. You can't just ask God and then sit back, relax, and say, just bring it. Just bring it. Let's see what happens. You can't just expect that. It's not going to happen. I think we know that. It's never going to happen. Sometimes each person needs to be counted and to be shown you are unbelievably important. You have no idea how far you've come since any of you have been here. No idea. Because you don't see yourself from day one to day 150. You're looking at yourself from day one to day two, day two to day three, day three to day four, day four to day five. You're seeing yourself every day. Sometimes there might have skipped a day or two. You know, it might always be there never really was a day six. But you're looking at it from one to the other, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. That's not the best way of doing things. If you look at it from day one to day 150, and you look at yourself, there's a drastic improvement. Certain people more than others. There's certain people who started off on day one at an extremely low level, and brought themselves on day 150 where they're going through Gemaras. And yeah, there were lots of stumbling blocks in the road where all of a sudden something happened and this happened and he tripped over this and there was another guy that was just lying there and there were chavrusas that were issues and there were rabbeim that were issues and there was days of yeshiva that were issues. And then there was anything that could have possibly been. Air conditioning that was an issue or heat that was an issue. There's always issues. But if you skip over those things and you just look at from day one, day 150, did you really think you're going to be able to learn a Gemara on your own? Well, you somewhat can. Did you really think that maybe you could pay attention in a shir and be able to start asking the questions that you knew you could ask? Did you really think that you were going to be on the level where you understand what you have to do? Maybe you're not there yet. But are you on the same level as you were 150 days ago? You're not. And if you want, a personal agenda, what I could do is tell you where you came from, what it was on the first day that I met you, where you were, and what happened to you, how you might have grown. There's no question. You grew. You did grow. You have to take both in stride. There's the anivus of understanding. I don't know, and that's okay. And certain times, I'm not going to know. And there's the gaiva, the eighth of an eighth of gaiva, that a person has to have and understand, I have grown. Because if you're just an anav, you're not going to get the Torah. That's not a guarantee. And that's why the Maamar Chazal couldn't say it that way. Just an anav doesn't believe in himself. And he'll sit there in morning seder, and he may have a chavrusa across from him, and he'll probably speak out the words, but if you don't believe in yourself, you don't believe you're really going to do it. And you space out. And then 10 minutes later you realize, oh, I should have turned the page. Or 10 minutes later you realize, is he in Rashi? He's in Rashi. Better move my finger over. Or 10 minutes later you realize, why is no one in the Beis Medrash? Uh-oh, is it 11:35? All of a sudden, that realization hits you. Some people, they know it's 11:35. They're just getting a coffee. That might be a little bit different. But a person to be able to sit there and to say, I know I can't understand everything. It's not like the Roman philosophy of you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. There's some things you can't do. But then to realize there's some things that I've done, where I've come from, what I've been doing up until now, it hasn't been a wasted time. Unless you weren't there. If you weren't there, that was wasted. You wasted your whole year. If you were there, you never, ever waste your time. Never. It doesn't happen that way. I'm going to say it one more time. And I think we're going to end with this. There's no better week to work on yourself and Torah than this coming up week. Chazer! Chazer the Gemara. Go over it again and again and again and again. There's no reason why you've only gone over it once. I don't have time. I will tell you right now, I have absolutely no time to chazer. But I find the time. If I have to stay up late, I stay up late. If I have to use my Shabbos, I use my Shabbos. But I'm not going to remember it if I don't chazer. You can't say it enough. It's not going to happen on its own. You're not going to be able to do it on its own. You're not going to get tested. You're not getting a quiz. You're not getting anything like that from a yeshiva. Because yeshivas don't do that. But they should. You should be tested. You should be quizzed. And if you fail, you should be thrown out. You should be taken and thrown out. But we don't. Because we're too nice. We're too nice and we say this and that and the other. And even when the person doesn't do so well on a test that is given, it's okay. You'll get it next time. I picture this. A guy in the major leagues who's batting 150. The media is screaming to throw him down in AAA, AA, throw him out of baseball. Screaming at him. There's no one out there that's saying, just let him bat a few more times. He's batting 150. And imagine if you're batting zero. Do you remember what Gemara we're doing? That just chazer. Do you remember shir from yesterday? Yesterday. It's yesterday's shir. It was less than 24 hours ago. Do you remember what was said? Can you repeat it back to me? Can you tell me what Rabbi first said? Can you tell me those halachas? It was 10 minutes ago. Can you tell me the Maamar Chazal that I started off with? It hits you. If you don't chazer, you won't. Because you can't. It's impossible. You have to chazer. Why is there no one here at 10:30 at night? Why? What happened to everybody? Where do you go? What is there to do? You're married. Okay, married, I understand. Different story. You're not married. What is there to do? If there's no Rabbi Olstein's shir on Wednesday night, what do you do? Is it really homework? Is it really homework? Is that the issue? What could you think of 1 hour that you could possibly do in a base medrash? Do you know Navi? Have you gone through Tehillim? Do you know the Parsha that well that you don't need to look up a Ramban or a Rashi? Is there nothing you could do? Nothing. A tour, a Mishnah Brura, a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a Mesilas Yesharim. Finally, you do a Mesilas Yesharim, you'll realize it's not just an hour you have. It might be an hour and a half. It might be 2 hours. 10:30. I'm preparing for this shir and it's hitting me even more so. I have not slept that much this week. And it's not bragging rights. And going up, you're like, okay, I got less sleep than you. But I'm preparing this shir. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And I'm extremely overtired. Extremely overtired. And then another guy comes into yeshiva and says to me, man, I didn't go to sleep till 2 last night. Why didn't you go to sleep until 2? What were you doing? What could you possibly have been thinking? What was there to do until 2? If you had from, I don't know when, from 8 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the morning, 6 hours to do what? What? Was that, it's just the timing. Where did it all go? Can you imagine I can't even imagine the busha when I go up to Shemayim. You had 6 hours every night for 6 months when you were in yeshiva. And you did? Can you imagine that embarrassment? Forget about the afternoon hours when you didn't have class. Make a chavrusa now. Do it now. If you're not here for night seder, the week before Shavuos, be here. If you're not after 10:30, why not? I'm not going to sleep well. Don't! It's the point of Shavuos. Don't! It's not that big of a deal. And if you can't do it, if you can't because it's going to ruin your day the next day, shine, I understand. Fine. There's nothing to talk about. But if you're going to waste that time, this is Shavuos. This is not just Stama Day. This is Shavuos. If you have to learn at home, you learn at home. But I'm making this commitment. And I can't do it every night of next week, but I'm going to make the commitment that 3 nights out of next week, I'm going to be here past 10:30 until 12 o'clock. I'm up anyway. It doesn't make that much of a difference to me. I'll just learn here. My problem is that people ask me questions and come up to me and I need to learn straight. Then I'll finish off whatever it is after 12. But I'm going to make the commitment. You can do it. And married guys, I don't want you. That's not a Shiloh. Come for regular night sitter. You don't need after 10:30. But just say, this is what I need to do. It's Shavuos. Just realize it's Shavuos. And to bring us back to next week, don't be such a baby. Don't be such a baby. Just commit it. We will speak. Have a good Shabbos.